19 and verse 30. 2 Kings chapter 19 and verse 30. As you saw out in the foyer, we have a new theme this year, and we are excited. It's like we had all these plans last year, and then COVID hit, and then we're like, and what are we going to do? And I'm like, no, we're going forward. We're just going to go forward for the Lord. We did anyway. We went forward last year for the Lord, but now we've got a new theme this year. If you'll look at 2 Kings chapter 19 and verse 30, this is where the Lord led me to as I was praying about this back in late 19 and early 2020. I was praying about themes for the next 5 years, and this is the one that the Lord really set my heart on. In verse 30, "And the remnant that is escaped of the house of Judah shall yet again take root downward and bear fruit upward." I want you to put that in your mind for a moment. We are going to take root downward and bear fruit upward, which means we're going to grow deeper and we're going to reach higher. And as you saw from the theme banners out in the foyer, you're going to see this also on the website and, of course, in social media. But that is our theme. We are going to grow deeper this year and we're going to reach higher than we've ever reached before. Now, I'm excited about this, so let me have a word of prayer, and then we'll get into it. Our Father and our God, we pray that you would continue to speak and continue to bless. Father, that you would guide us throughout this year, every step, every day, every moment, that we will fulfill your will for your ministry here. This is your church, Father, and you own it. And God, you are the master of us all. And so, Father, as best we know how, we're just going to submit ourselves to the Holy Spirit and be led and to fulfill your word. And we ask that you would glorify yourself in and through this church. We ask, God, you'd perfect your will in each and every person. And Father, you'd perfect your will in this community as well. And God, through it all, may you be seen. May your name be exalted. And Father, may you be glorified. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The idea of take root down, take root downward and bear fruit upward, or growing deeper. Have you really ever taken a minute and assessed where you are in your walk with the Lord and where you are in your spiritual growth? I know that I get challenged. We go to Men's Prayer Advance or to the Couples Advance or even at the Student Advance. I get challenged to reassess, where am I at in my walk with the Lord? Have I grown closer to Him, or have I backslid? Have I memorized more Scripture? Have I consumed it? Have I meditated? Have I been led of the Spirit? These are questions I ask myself, and quite honestly, I think that every one of us ought to have somebody in our life. My wife is like my accountability partner. I appreciate her. She asks me thought-provoking questions that cannot be answered with a yes or a no. And I have to explain myself. And you know, that's a good thing. And wives ought to be able to do that to us guys. They ought to be able to ask questions and without any fear of retaliation. By the way, this is free. They ought to have the PIN number to your phone, and they ought to have the email password to every account you have. Every account you have. And there's nothing off limits. And they ought to be able to look in your wallet. And if you put your nose in her purse, you're a dead man. So that's all free. That's good preaching, though. We are going to take root downward and bear fruit upward. And that's where tonight we gave you, when you came in, a journal. Something that hopefully will assist you in your walk with the Lord this year. But the theme, as I said, is growing deeper and reaching higher. Now, the purpose of this local called out assembly, this local New Testament church, is to raise up successive generations of self-growing, serving Christians. Now, let me say that again. Successive generations. That means every year, new people are not just coming into the faith, which is wonderful. Praise God for everybody who gets saved. But we want to raise up successive generations of Christians who know how to walk with God, who have their own personal daily walk with God, who are growing. Now, we understand because of where we live, we're not going to get to keep all of you. We would love to, wouldn't we, Brother Mike? Brother Mike, you've been here 40-some years, brother, 45?
Yeah, a long time.
Praise God.
Yes, that's right.
Praise God. But it's a rarity anymore. It's a rarity. The Millers are moving this month. We love the Millers. Oh, gosh, they're such good friends. And they're moving this month, and other families. We lose basically a family a month. So we realize that we're not looking to build a gigantic little kingdom of our own. What we're doing is we're raising up kingdom citizens, people who will pick up and move as the military moves them and takes them to another part of God's vineyard, and they will serve the Lord there. And then after a year or two, in the wisdom of the U.S. government or intelligence of the military, they will move them and pick them up and do it again and do it again and do it again. And the goal is, with every place you go, you'll grow. We want to show you how to grow. So we want to raise up successive generations of self-growing, serving Christians. 2 Timothy 2:2 is our text verse for our purpose. I think every good organization should have a purpose statement. They ought to be able to tell you in one sentence what it is we're trying to accomplish. What it is we're trying to accomplish for the Lord. And the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. That's our purpose. We want to continually teach what we have been taught, to teach what we have learned, and have you go out and learn and come back hopefully and teach us. That's what I love about discussion style Sunday school, is I always learn something. Every time I have a Sunday school class, I learn something new from the people sitting in it with me. Our vehicle to fulfill this purpose is the local New Testament church, the First Baptist Church of Kingstown. But our plan is the Great Commission. Take your Bible, turn to Matthew 28. Matthew 28, I realize nothing I'm saying so far is earth-shattering. Why is this such a big deal? Because it's good to refocus. So as we go through this year, you know it is where we're coming from and why we're doing what we're doing. Our plan was given to us by God. Every organization ought to have a plan. I was talking to one of my boys about, you know, what they're looking for in a wife. And he said to me, I want somebody that wants to be on Team Mix. And that's a good thing, you know. But Team Mix needs to have a plan. Your family needs to have a plan. Guess what? This church has a plan. It's Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20. You can look at verse 18. It says, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. That means I have the right to tell you this. I have the right to command you what I'm about to command you. And I'm about to give you everything you need to do what it is I'm asking you to do. Verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations. One of the beautiful things about being in the Fairfax County area is God has brought all nations to me. I can't travel the whole world, but the whole world can sure come to me. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. We're teaching all nations what? The gospel. And baptizing them, leading them to identify publicly with Jesus Christ. That's what baptism is. There's a lot more to it, but that's, I like to put it in one sentence. And then it says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. When you birth a baby, you don't just put him in a living room and just throw food at him. No, you got to teach him and train him. You got to spoon feed him. And then you got to help him clean up their messes and learn to walk and talk and then run and then to be able to function on their own. And that's the goal for any parent. They want their child to grow up and to be a productive member of God's kingdom. And so that's what our goal is. This is our plan. This is the plan we are going to follow. We're going to teach the gospel to every human being we can come in contact with. And we're going to, once they trust Christ as their Savior, we're going to lead them to identify publicly with Jesus Christ. And then we're going to teach those that are saved to walk with God and to serve Him. Because the one thing you can count on is the First Baptist Church of Kingstown will not be where you move to next. We have something special here. It's a family. Love you. And I pray that you'll find a loving church family wherever God moves you, but it won't be us. So it's the only constant in your life is Jesus. It's got to be Jesus. It's got to be your walk with God. Why do kids grow up in Christian homes and go off to college and have their faith wrecked? It's because it wasn't their faith. It wasn't their personal walk with Jesus Christ. If that's what's got to happen, we got to effectively transition that faith from faith to faith, as it says in the book of Romans. It's faith in me to faith in someone else, faith in our children, faith in other people. So when they go to a community in the military or the government or your job or you retire, wherever God puts you, you're going to plug in, or you should, in obedience to His Scripture, not obedience to John Mix, but in obedience to Scripture, plug into a local New Testament church and serve the Lord and reach souls for Christ. That's your job. I've told my kids, you don't have to be a pastor. I'd be honored if you were, but you don't have to. If you'll just love God and keep people out of hell and be faithful to your family, you'll be a success in God's economy. And that's really it for any of us. If the Lord moves you to another duty station, if you'll just serve God and love people and keep them out of hell and be faithful to your family, you'll be a success in whatever church you go to, wherever the Lord leads you. So we have a mission. We have a mission statement. And I've got five words that I use. So folks, I know the Dungs have been with us a while, so they know these words. It's to inspire, to include, to instruct, to involve, and to impact. Our mission hasn't changed in the 8 years we've been here. We want to inspire people to have a heart for God. We want to include them in a loving First Church family. We want to instruct them in Bible doctrine, and we want to involve them in a life-changing ministry. We want to impact the D.C. Metroplex and the world. That's it. This hasn't changed. This is our mission. What does it mean to inspire people to have a heart for God? Take your Bible, go to Psalms 34, then verse 8. Psalm 34 and verse 8. If you're born again today, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, say amen. Amen. Who was it in your life that inspired you to check out this God who would send His Son and die for you? Somebody brought the gospel. Oh, no, I've always believed. No, you didn't. You didn't pop out your mama a believer. Somebody, whether it was your mom or your dad or a friend. For us, it was friends. It was my wife and her family and then her friends that would encourage me to go to church, encourage me to talk and talk to me about God. They were trying to inspire me to have a heart for God. Look at what it says in Psalm 34 and verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. That's what we're doing when we encounter people in our community, when we're engaging them. What are you trying to do? You're trying to get them to see that our God is good. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. You know, who inspired you to have a heart for God? Who was it? Who was it who talked to you about Jesus? Who was it who sat you down and explained the gospel of how Christ died for your sins? Somebody did that. One of my dear friends is Steve Scott. He pastors out in Cooperstown, North Dakota. And he pastors a community church out there. But as a teenager, he witnessed to me. He was one of my wife's childhood friends. I'll love him forever because he witnessed to me. I remember my preacher who sat me down and walked me through the gospel. I'll never forget him for that. I'll love him for that forever. And the truth is, somebody inspired you. Who was it? Now, we want to be that person in the lives of everyone in the community that we engage. We want to be that person. We want to generate those connections to our community through what we call outreach. We want to make it literally impossible to die and go to hell from Kingstown and not know Jesus is the only way. We want to make it impossible. If they die and go to hell, it's because they walked over the blood of Christ and our tracks and our efforts. They'll have walked over us to get to hell. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, the Bible says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses." Now remember, the devil likes to complicate things. What does a witness do? A witness only testifies about what they have experienced. Being a witness and engaging your community is just telling your story. Tell them how somebody inspired you to have a heart for God. I remember my first Bible. There was a lady, she was about 4'10". She was just little Laura Mail. And she had lines in her face. She was an elderly lady back when I was a kid. And she'd reach up and pat me on the head and say, "You're going to be a good boy one day, Johnny, I can tell." And she had my first Bible. You know, she was one of the first people to engage me. I remember my Sunday school teacher in the Methodist church. She had one of those beehive hairdos that stood up like this. Black, coal black hair. Her and her husband Bales were their last name. John and Roberta Bales. She taught my Sunday school class. And even though I didn't get saved till I was an adult, they were trying to inspire me to have a heart for God. And that is the mission of this church. Now, our Jerusalem is, we have mapped out at a 5-mile radius. You go 5 miles in any direction from this place, it's about 300,000 people, and we want to be a fixture in that community. We want everyone to know we're here. We want everyone to know we're here to help. We're going to use first-class materials. One of the exciting things that's happening in January is we're going to rebrand the church. We're bringing in a man named Nathan Howe, who is a professional designer, and he's going to sit down with people from the church, and we're going to explain our history and our culture to him, and he's a young man that helps churches rebrand. We're going to go with first-class materials. We're going to use our technology as effectively as we can. We're going to be redesigning the church website in the next 90 days. And we're going to go with a fresh look and a fresh color scheme, and we're going to follow the brand, but we're going to do it in such a way you don't even need an app anymore. It'll be, what's been done so far has been excellent, and we appreciate the work that gets done, but it's time for a refresh, and it'll be to where you won't even need an app. The website will be so robust that it'll work that way. We want to upgrade our screen to a larger screen, one that completely reflects away or diffuses all ambient light except what's coming straight at it. And that's going to mean some trim work and some things in here. And that's a good thing because we're going to want to redesign the auditorium and refresh it. We're going to bring in a professional designer. We're not going to draw straws from a hat in the church and cause fights. We're going to bring in a professional that's going to tell us what to do and how to do it. And why? Because we want to, when people walk on property, we want things to inspire people to have a heart for God. You know, a way you can inspire people have a heart for God is through your praise and testimony on social media. Testifying about how good God is to you. Now, I realize you may have a job that really it's not wise to be out there putting things on social media, but most of you don't have that as a problem. And so there's Twitter, there's Facebook, whatever you feel comfortable doing, let people know how good God is. Look at Psalm 107 and verse 1 and 2. Psalm 107 and verse 102. With all the filth and junk and stupidity that's going on the internet right now, wouldn't it be great for every now and again to see a Bible verse that says, this changed my life. This touched my soul. This brought me joy today, and I hope it brings you joy today. Look what it says in Psalm 107, verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Now, we need your help on social media. We got Miss Rebecca's doing a fabulous job, but she can't do 100 million things all at once. Praise the Lord, she's doing great at the things she does. So if you see something neat that you think would be cool, you ought to email that to us. You ought to send us that. Repost all the Facebook and Twitter things that we post already. Share our videos and podcasts on your news feeds. Get it out there, people. Reach out through, like, if you're in the military, Wives of Fort Belvoir is an excellent resource. Or I'm on Nextdoor, and I know what's going on, and people are always going, hi, I'm new to your subdivision. I go, hi, I'm John. I live just down the street. The best Mexican food is right here. The best Chinese food is right here, and the best church in America is First Baptist Kingstown. Right? Why? What's wrong with that? Right? Huh? They got good Chinese, got good Mexican, and a good church. Go out on Google or DuckDuck or DuckDuckGo or Bing or whatever your favorite search engine and search for church in Alexandria and scroll till you hit us and hit click. It's called a one-click campaign. Move us to the top by clicking on us and nobody else. Get out there and do it on every single device you got. We want to inspire people to have a heart for God by generating connections. Also through our door-to-door evangelism. Starting in February, on the first Saturday, we will be having an outreach class where you'll come down here, we'll have coffee and some things, you come sit downstairs, and we're going to walk through how to engage people and have a conversation about Jesus Christ. And we'll have some role-playing, and we'll do it together right here, where you can get... Now, what you can do to prepare for that is sit down and just tell your story to yourself or write it out. Maybe you're a writer and you like journaling and you've got a journal right here. Write out your testimony. Somebody brought me a Bible, showed me how I was a sinner. I needed a Savior, and I didn't believe at first, but after a while I realized through the conviction of the Holy Spirit I needed to be saved, that Bible was true, Jesus died for me, his blood was offered to me, forgiveness was free, and I took him up on it. I don't know, just tell your story, because that's what it means to be a witness. But for every Saturday in the month of February, we're going to have an outreach class on Saturday morning. Then starting in March, we're going to restart our Super Saturdays. There'll be a team that can help work with direct mail. We'll have a team that prays, a team that provides childcare for those that go out, a team that prepares our fellowship meal afterwards. And there'll be a team that goes out and canvasses, goes out, just puts things on doors and engage the community as we get in there. But in March, we want to add teams of people that actually knock and talk. Hi, I'm John from First Baptist. We're the church in your neighborhood, and we're just out inviting folks to church. Do y'all go anywhere? We'd love to invite you. It's just that simple, just to engage in a conversation. We're going to start that in March. In June, we want to add the farmer's market. We've been invited, thanks to Brother Frank and Miss Rebecca going out, they've been invited for us as a church to set up a booth on a Saturday at a farmer's market and just hand out literature as people walk by. Ben, they're coming to you. How easy is that? And you can engage them that way. We want to do a parks ministry on the Super Saturday. Will there be another team that will take one of those canopies and buy just a case of bottled water and maybe do some balloon animals and go out to a local park and just start talking to parents and handing out balloons and saying, hi, we're from First Baptist. We're just out in your neighborhood. Just want to encourage you. Could you all go to church somewhere? And here's a bottle of water. Here's a balloon. Here's something for the kid. Engage the community. Hi. Why? Because it inspires people to have a heart for God. How? Because now they're thinking about it. Brother Seth, our friend who's a missionary in Germany, I said, how's it going over there? Man, we're leading people to Christ. Why? Because they all think they're going to die. And I'm like, okay, well, use what's in front of you. If you've got little kids, take them to the park. If you've got a daughter or a son that likes to play soccer, sign them up for a league. Go down there and help out. There's probably 24 families your age, your station in life, with 23 kids that you can go, yeah, I'm new to the community too, and I go to First Baptist. And, that's engaging. It doesn't have to be cold, aggressive door-to-door soul winning. But that all gets going to be done on Saturday. We're also going to have big days with evangelistic push. We're going to push big on Easter to get the gospel to as many people as possible on Easter. We're going to have Friend Day, June 6th. VBS is scheduled for July 12th through 16th. The Lord has always added between 5 and 7 families just through Vacation Bible School every year. Now, they don't join automatically. It takes us, 5 or 6 months to work with them, but we make the contact. We're going to do Back to School Sunday in August. We'll do a community cookout in September. We'll do Truck or Treat, hopefully, if it works out, in October. And then all the Christmas services. These are so we can engage people to inspire them to have a heart for God. Number two, we want to be that premier place to worship, that place where people come and feel the presence of God. Where they come and they experience God's love and they find God's healing and grace. And because God doesn't fill buildings anymore, He fills people. So as you bring the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit, you come and you bring the presence of God with you. You as an individual, I call it in-church visitation. You can inspire people to have a heart for God at any given service. How do you do that? You make them feel warm, wanted, and welcome. You walk up to somebody new and just introduce yourself. Do you know how many people come to our church and say, well, the last church I was at, nobody talked to me. The pastor walked right by me. I'm like, man, you're not going to be comfortable here if you're not cool getting hugged every now and again. Because we're excited to have you. Make people feel warm, wanted, and welcome. Look, the first time I walked into a Baptist church, I didn't know what to expect. I came from a mainline denomination. The people in my church were mean. I expected meanness. I didn't know if they're going to dunk me with chicken blood. And I didn't know what they were going to do. They don't know what to expect if they've never been to a Baptist church before. Make them feel welcome. We need greeters right now. The Millers are moving away. They were our faithful 8:30 Sunday morning greeters. And what's great about having two Sunday morning services is you can serve in one and attend one. So we need two people to commit to greet at 8:30 on Sunday morning. We need two people to commit to greet at 5:30 on Sunday night. That means take temperatures, hit them with the spritz, ask them the questions, and introduce yourself. We need two people to commit to greet on Wednesday nights. We need two people to commit to work the parking lot on Sunday mornings at 11:15. You don't have to be out there the whole time. It's just Sometimes, especially on Easter, it gets tough to park in our church. We need everybody to be proactive. Don't sit. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews 10:24 that we are to consider one another, to provoke one another unto love and good works. To consider means to think. When you see somebody new walk in or somebody that's come a couple times and you don't know their name, walk up, introduce yourself. Use your name first. My name's John. Or maybe it's, my name's John. Or maybe it's, my name's John. Whatever it is you do to greet people, just say, hi, I'm so-and-so. What's your name? Good to have you here. I think I've seen you before, but I didn't know. Smile. For a man to have friends, he must show himself friendly. This is inspiring people to have a heart for God. Shake hands or make them feel warm and be friendly. Park in the back. Sit toward the front. Water and fodder between and after services. And don't leave the services unless you're on fire. If you're on fire, you may leave. But come back once you're sprayed on. Why? Because you being in a service inspires people. I have been to churches where there's three people. And you're like, where's everybody at? Sing out when it's time to sing. Sing out loud. It says in Psalm 47:6, sing praises to God. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises. If you feel led to raise your hands, do so. Do so. You're not performing for the people in this room. You are connecting with your God. That is your business. Say amen. Interact with the preacher. Deuteronomy 27 has it 12 times, and all the people shall say amen. Psalm 107 says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Finish right by hitting the altar. Don't leave during the invitation. And when you do leave, plan on coming back. You know, this year, you could add another service to your schedule. Add another service. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:25, and it says, let us forsaking not the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. That's the day of the Lord's return. Add another service this year. Show up, because the service you missed was the blessing you needed. In John 20, Thomas didn't show up for church Sunday night. And Jesus was there. And he breathed on him and gave them the Holy Spirit. And Thomas was gone. You know, the sermon you needed was the one you missed. So come hungry, arrive early, be friendly. Create that positive impression. And you'll inspire people to have a heart for God. Number two, we want to inspire people by having Christ-honoring music. Christ-honoring music. We need 15 more people in the choir. We need to fill this up. I have another bunch of chairs that we can put here, another row in. I got them all downstairs. We need more people in the choir. We'd like to add 10 people to the special music. We'll add 20 if you got it. But we'd like to add people to the special music schedule. We want to create duets and ensembles. And we want to add people to our orchestra that's down to Miss Mix. And now it's down to Brother Aunt June. Is the one that plays, and Brother Phil plays with Aunt June's recording. We praise God for Aunt June's recording. Praise the Lord. But have you ever asked yourself, why do some people visit but they don't stay? See, we want to inspire people to have a heart for God, but this year we want to include them in a loving church family. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 41, and they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added. Added to what? Added to the local New Testament church. So, Acts 2 and verse 47, and as many as were saved were baptized, and the same day were added. You're adding to the church. Why don't people stay, though? Well, a lot of times they'll come because they're exposed to multiple outreach attempts, but they haven't developed a meaningful relationship with anybody in the church. The statistics, and everybody's got statistics, said that they need to be connected to at least 6 members of the church or more if they're going to stay. They need to get connected quickly. And they need to develop relationships after they're converted. If they've typically made 6 or 7 friends at the church, they have found a home. So we need to visit. We need to build relationships. We need to have folks over for lunch. And we need to have coffee and just connect, because it's about connection. So we want to inspire people to have a heart for God. We want to include them in a loving church family. We want to instruct them in Bible doctrines. 2 Timothy 2:2, "And the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." We want to connect God's word to every person's heart, personally, practically, at every age group on the spectrum. We want age-appropriate teaching for children and adolescents and teens and grads, you know, people that are in college and people from every age. So we're going to be doing a lot of discipleship, as we always do. This year, we want to start a couple of new things. We're going to start a one-on-one discipleship opportunity where you can teach someone else. We've got little booklets made up. We take that Bible study that a lot of the material that we have already had, and they're in little booklets now, and you take it, and you just go through it with them. It'll be on Wednesday nights where you'll sign up, and there's childcare available, so you can come, and you know your children are fine, but now you can partner a lady with a lady or a guy with a guy and just pull off onto a table down in the fellowship hall, and you'll be able to disciple somebody for a 6-week or an 8 weeks in a row session. We're going to start the crosswalk class with Pastor Morales for parents of teenagers. And we're going to, once the Lord provides us with a teacher for the adult class here in the auditorium, I'm going to restart my starting point. I call it starting point class. Mrs. Mix will start her heart-to-heart class for ladies. And we're going to start up our in-home Bible studies again. This month we'll be starting up why we use the King James Bible. What day does that start on, Frank? This coming Friday night at the Suglio Residence. Maybe you've got a question. Why do you guys use that? You know, we don't beat people up about it, but why do we use it? We have a reason. We're also going to instruct people through biblically sound preaching. Take your Bible, go to Isaiah 40 and verse 31. Isaiah 40 and verse 31. As I was studying back in 2019 over the next 5 years and started to lay out a plan for our church, the Lord really revealed this to me. Isaiah 40, verse 31, I preached this on the first Sunday in January. "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." This is going to be quarterly themes. The first quarter of this year, we're going to wait on the Lord and renew our strength. There's going to be some foundational teaching coming over the next 8 to 9 weeks of preaching. Then in the second quarter, we're going to mount up. And it says, "They that wait upon the Lord, they shall mount up with wings as eagles." I'm going to preach on topics that help you to climb higher and draw closer to God in your personal walk with God. I want to prepare the church for personal and corporate revival. The Bible says in James 4:8, "Draw nigh to God, and He'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." We need revival. That's what America needs. America's in a mess. And why? Because it in sad need of revival. That's what will change hearts and minds, is the Spirit of the living God. We need revival. The third quarter, we're going to run and not be weary. "They shall wait upon the Lord. They shall run and not be weary." We're going to talk about daily living, daily overcoming, and daily victory. The putting off of the old man, the putting on the new. And that's going to be the third quarter. In the fourth quarter, we're going to walk and not faint. We're going to talk about longevity, but we're also going to talk about legacy, setting up a spiritual legacy that becomes generational in your family, to where I know that my parents were saved, but they weren't very active, and I didn't hear the gospel in my home, didn't pray in my home. I didn't know God. I went ahead and became an adult and left home and found God. So if I'm the first generation, I want a spiritual legacy that is generational in my family. I hope you want the same thing. I hope you look down from heaven and see your great-grandchildren are getting saved and serving God and avoiding the mess we made of our lives. We want to go the distance, and we want to be faithful all the way to the end. That's what we're going to talk about in the fourth quarter. So we're going to instruct them in Bible doctrines. But we're also going to do it not just through Bible preaching and discipleship. We're going to do it through special meetings. We're going to the men's prayer advance next week. There's time. If you want to go, there's still room for you. We're going to have March for Missions, March 14th through the 17th. The ladies' prayer advance is March 18th through the 20th. The teen youth conferences will be April 17th and June 19th. The student prayer advance will be July 22 through 24, and then teen camp in August. These are going to be special services and conferences that'll draw us closer to the Lord. They'll create opportunities for spiritual milestones. Think back over your life. Think back over the times when you and God came to an understanding and you submitted to His authority and you set down a marker. I remember my first one was when I got saved. My second one was when I submitted to baptism. I fought with the Lord over it for a long time. And then I submitted. Then I remember submitting to the Lord and saying, I'll never miss church again. I'll never miss church again. I'll be faithful unless I am providentially hindered, Lord. I will be in service somewhere. I'll be in church. I remember that as a milestone. I remember when I told the Lord, I'll serve. I'll sing in the choir. I'll teach Sunday school. Whatever the preacher needs, I'll do it, Lord. If there's an opening, call on me. I remember that was a milestone. I remember when the Lord finally called me in the ministry. That was a milestone. I remember when I gave my children to the Lord, prayed over each one of them and told the Lord they were His. And I recognize that. And I'll do my dead level best to train them, Lord, and then give them back to You. These are milestones. I want to be able to see us as a church create opportunities where people make spiritual milestones with Jesus. Not with me, not in some cookie cutter thing that I'm doing, but they encounter the living God and they go, yes, Lord, Thy will, not mine. Thy holiness, not mine. Thy purposes, not mine. So we want to inspire them to have a heart for God. We want to include them in a loving church family. We want to instruct them in Bible doctrine. We want to involve them in life-changing ministry. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. One of the things that I find pretty common amongst Christians is that every one of us can go back in time in our mind's eye and remember how different people at different times in our life made a difference. They said the right word. They were at the right moment when we were at our lowest. They came alongside and lifted us up. They met a need and they showed us Jesus. They showed us Jesus. Look at 1 Peter 4:10. As every man hath received the gift, and you have, if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit has gifted you with abilities. Even so, minister the same. Use those gifts one to another for the benefit of someone else as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. You're a steward over those things the Holy Spirit has given you. So people are encouraged to find out what their gifts are and to learn how to use them. Encouraging believers to grow not only to a place of involvement, but to have ownership over their own walk with God and ownership of their service to the Lord. Now we want to do this through weekly ministry opportunities. Like I said, we have two Sunday morning preaching services, so attend one, serve one. But currently, we have only two Sunday school classes for children, and we need to double that to four. We need two classes created immediately. So we have room for teachers. We need a 2 to 4-year-old class. We need a 3rd and 4th grade class. We need a K to 2nd grade class. We need somebody to commit to be the nursery worker for Sunday school and make that their ministry. We need somebody to commit to a Sunday night or to at least sign up to where nobody has to work more than once a month in the nursery. We need a Wednesday night Wee Ones class for 2 to 5-year-olds. We need that. Those are opportunities to make an impact. And even though I didn't get saved till I was 23 years old, I remember Laura Mayle teaching me. I remember Roberta Bales teaching my Sunday school class. I remember these people teaching me the stories of the Bible before I ever knew Jesus personally. These people poured into me. Didn't know if it was ever going to pan out. Many of them are in heaven before they found out that it would pan out. But it mattered, and it changed my life. We need to be that for other people. So we need to inspire people to have a heart for God. We need to include them in a loving church family. We need to instruct them in Bible doctrine. We need to involve them in life-changing ministry. We need to impact the D.C. Metroplex and the world. I read to you a minute ago Acts 1:8, but ye shall be witnesses unto me. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. We are developing a multifaceted outreach that's going to generate a regular stream of people for us to from all different ages and backgrounds to minister to. We're going to do that through weekly soul winning and equipping Christians to do the same. We want to create a Bible Institute because We want to plant churches. We want to plant churches. We want to see a church planted. I would be tickled pink if we could do it every 2 years. But we're developing that plan now to birth new churches in throughout this metroplex, from Baltimore to North Carolina. That is our plan along the 95 corridor. Benchmark, we just met with Brother and Sister Chef. They assume they'll be self-supporting within 2 years. Right now, the Koreans are looking for a building. They found one, and our church is going to try to get pre-approved for a loan to help them buy a building. Get them out on their own. We already have an 8-channel soundboard for them. Tomorrow, me and the staff are picking up a baby grand piano that was donated to the Korean mission. This is happening. And then in 2022, we are launching Pedro Morales. For better or for worse, he's going to get to... No, I'm just kidding. We're going to put him in Baltimore, and we're going to plant a church. And it isn't just, here you go, have a nice day. It's going to be, who's going with me this week? We're going up to Baltimore to knock doors. Who's going with me? Who wants to go on opening day and run their nursery for a day? Who wants to be the one who helps put out the fellowship meal after service for the next 3 Sundays while he launches a new work? Who wants to meet the new person that's going to take his place and train with us for 2 years as we look at Fort Hunt or Mount Vernon? I was doing a search today. There is no First Baptist Mount Vernon. There is no First Baptist Fort Hunt. There is no First Baptist Annandale. There is no First Baptist whatever. We don't have to call it First Baptist, but I think it's cool. Right? But do you understand? Nobody knocks on my door, and I live just across the way by Fort Belvoir. Nobody knocks on my door except the Mormons. You don't have to leave Kingstown very far. We stay really busy right here. But we need a church on the east side of Highway 1. We need another one farther north at Fort Hunt. We need another one up in Hybla Valley. We need another one up in Old Town. We need another one over here. You realize it's only 2 miles to the Springfield Mall. There's another two. We go another 2-3 miles. We got people driving from Saratoga. We could plant a church over there. We could plant a church in Lorton. We could plant a church in Occoquan, in Woodbridge. There's just millions and millions of people up here. We're never going to reach them all if we don't get after it. So the Lord really laid that on my heart. We are going to plant churches. This year can be the year where you find your passion in Christ. And that's the other thing I want to talk about today. Take your Bible, go to a familiar portion of Scripture. I want you to look at 1 Chronicles 4:10. Some of you recognize what this is right off the bat. 1 Chronicles 4:10. But as I was thinking about what is it I hope for you as an individual, I've talked to you about our church and what we want to do, but you as the individual Christian, this is what I hope for you. I want this to be the year you rediscover your passion for Jesus Christ. Look at 1 Chronicles 4:10. It's called the Prayer of Jabez. And Jabez called on the God of Israel saying, oh, have you ever just sighed in the Lord when you're talking to him and your words just aren't there? I don't know what to say. I'm so excited. I'm so in love with God. I don't know what to say. How long has it been since you were passionate about your intimacy with Jesus Christ? How long has it been since you had one of those moments where you could feel his presence right there in the room with you? How are you going to challenge? What are you going to do this year that's different from the past 5? You know, the most dangerous thing about us as Christians who've walked with God is the fact that we get in a routine of doing good things like reading our Bible and praying, but it just sort of stagnates. Last year, I challenged myself in several different ways, and it was a blessing. I'm going to do the same things this year, but I'm going to do something different. This year, I'm outlining a chapter of the Bible every day. Besides my regular study, it's just my own personal, maybe someday I'll die and the boys will print it and it'll become my dad's study Bible. I don't know what it is. It's notes to them. But seriously, how are you challenging yourself? Jabez says, oh, I want that passion. I want Jabez's passion for Christ this year, and I want it for you. I want this to be not only the year of passion, I want it to be the year of blessing. He says, oh, that thou wouldest bless me. Oh, God, would you use me? Would you supernaturally enable me to be used this year? You know, the secret to everything God has for you is wanting it. You got to want it. I don't say you have to earn it, because you don't. You don't earn it. He's offering it for free. You know, it's funny. Teenagers have evolved in some way. When I was a youth pastor, you know, you could just take a soccer ball down and hand out soccer balls, and you could talk to kids about Jesus. There ain't a kid on the block today want a soccer ball. I remember handing out Zoom. Remember the old Microsoft Zoom? It was their version of the iPod. It was a big brick. It was brown, and you could get them cheap. Kids say they don't want that. It's just things that were a technological marvel, but they don't want that. But God can use us if he will enable us. But you got to want it. I want this to be the year you want everything God has for you. It says in Revelation 21, 6, I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. In Revelation 22, 7, let him that is athirst. Have you ever been thirsty? I mean, really thirsty. Like you haven't drank anything all day and you are just dry as shucks. You're snorting dust. You are so dry and your mouth is you know what I'm talking about. You know, have you ever been thirsty for God? Where you just can't get enough of God today? You know, the truth is you got to want it. You have to want it more than entertainment. You're going to have to want it more than you want comfort. You're going to have to want it more than you want gaming. You're going to have to want it more than you want to hang out on whatever social media thing you do now. You got to have to want it more than that. And this is the year. He says, would thou bless me indeed? He's asking for grace. Keep your hand there, but go to Isaiah 44 and verse 3. I want this to be the year of passion for you and Christ. I want this to be the year of blessing for you and Christ. Look at Isaiah 44 and verse 3. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty. He ain't going to pour the water if you're not thirsty. He's not going to force you into his blessings. He's not going to force you to receive more of him and all that he has for you. And that's the danger of walking with God for long periods of time, is we get into a rut spiritually. Oh, we're not drinking and drugging and clubbing and all that stuff, but it's just sort of like day-old Mountain Dew. It's flat. You know? That's what the church at Laodicea was, neither hot nor cold. And it was just, and I'm not saying you're out there sinning and carousing, because you're not. You've walked with God and you've got enough sense to know I shouldn't be doing that, but where's the passion? Where's the fire? And you wonder, where's the blessings? I will pour water on him. Are you thirsty? I want this to be the year you're thirsty. I've concluded from the Bible that the power of the Holy Spirit is so readily available. The reason I don't have it is because I don't want it bad enough. I don't want it more than my sin. Because I have to assume that it's not God that's deficient, because he's able. That only leaves me. The Bible says every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, where there's no variableness or shadow of turning. So my prayer has been since the beginning of the year, God, stir me. Stir me from my complacency. Challenge me. Desire is the bottom line. You know, the Bible says in Jeremiah 5, verses 7 through 9, that God not only took care of Israel, he blessed Israel, and that when they were full, they turned from him. And I wonder if that's not us sometimes, when we have everything. The Bible says in Mark 4:19 that the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things enter in and choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. We're so full of other things, we don't. Now, they're not bad things. They're not sinful things. They're just other things that we just don't have time for the Lord. So I want this to be a year of passion for you. I want to do everything I can in my power to lead the staff and lead this church to have a year of blessing. But I also want it to be a year where you exercise your faith. Back in 1 Chronicles chapter 4 and verse 10, he says that thou would bless me Look at that word.
Bless me indeed. By faith, O God, I'm going to leave the amount of blessing up to you.
You know, when we sin, consequences for our sin is inevitable and unavoidable and left up to God. And when it comes to blessings, when I obey His promises, do you understand that the blessings are inevitable and unavoidable,
but left up to God?
And Jabez knew that God's hands of blessing were bigger than his measuring stick. So when God would drop a handful, he knew it'd be big. And he said, won't you bless me indeed? Won't you bless me in a huge way? Won't you bless me in a way that it's unavoidable for anybody else to blame me, but actually look and say, that had to be from God. God's handful of blessings are bigger than mine. In Ephesians 3:20, now unto him that is able, that's talking about God, now unto God that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above. Those are some really awesome adjectives. Above what? Above all that we could ask for or think. That means imagine. God is able to do more in the way of blessing than you've ever imagined. So my prayer has been, stir me, and my prayer has been, show me. Oh God, show me what you can do. And if you'll give it to me, I'll use it for your work. Luke said in Luke 6, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaking together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. I want this to be not only the year of passion and blessing and a year of exercising your faith. I want you to ask God, show me what you can do through me. And to the best of my ability, I give myself to you. Number four, I want this to be the year of the greater ministry. Look at that next phrase in 1 Chronicles 4:10. That would bless, he said, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast. That means increase my influence in this world through me. Increase your influence in this world through me. We've talked about this before. It's not about input and output as a Christian. It's about throughput. What God wants to do in and through us. In 2 Corinthians 9:8, it says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound. Abound. Think of what that word means. That means it goes outside the normal boundaries, abound to every good work. Empower me, God. Enlarge my coast. Empower my testimony. As you advance me, I will tell others. As you lift me up in the eyes of my peers, I will point to you. I will live it. I will talk it. I will show it. God, show me. God, advance me. God, enlarge my coast. And I want this to be the year of greater boldness. Look at that last phrase here. It says, that thou wouldst bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me. As I said, I've been praying, oh God, stir me from my complacency. God, show me what you can do. And then I put, God, strengthen me for my prayer this year. You know, I was reading through Joshua 1, and four times God says, be strong and of good courage. This is the year when God needs us to believe him and be bold. It says, and that thine hand might be with me. I want to be strong and I want to be courageous. Why? Because I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that he is able. I may not be, but he is. So I want this not only to be the year of a reigniting of your passion for Christ and mine. I want it to be a year of blessing. I want it to be a year of a greater usefulness. But I want it to be a year of greater boldness. Oh God, strengthen in me. And a year of greater hope. Look at this. That thou wouldest keep me from evil. Not all the things that are bad that happens to us are actually evil. So I'm not saying that you won't ever have problems. But keeping me from evil also means the evil that I would do if left to myself, or the evil that others would lead me to do if I'm not following him. Psalm 19:13, keep
back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Presumptuous means I think I deserve it. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright and shall be innocent from the great transgression. Do you know what that great transgression is? That's me playing God with my own life. That's the great transgression. To set myself up as God and live my whims instead of Bible principle. It goes on in 1 Chronicles 4 that it may not grieve me. That I may not live a life that has regrets. And God granted him that which he requested. I've told you what we want to do as a church. But this is what I want you to have. I want you to have passion like never before. I want you to have blessing. I want you to exercise your faith. I want you to have a prayer list that's basically impossible if it weren't for God. I want you to have a year where your ministry and your service to the Lord eclipses everything you've ever done. And I'd like you to have boldness and hope. But it's not going to happen if you're not thirsty. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6 that without faith, confidence in God, without faith, it is impossible to please him, because he that cometh to God must believe that he is. You got to believe who he is, says he is. And believeth that he exists, that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We got to get God out of second place and put him back in first. That's what we need to have as passion for this year, is putting God back in his rightful place instead of being a small part of our life or an addition to our life, God being our life. So how do we stay thirsty? Our gratitude must equal his goodness. You need to ask God, is there something you want me to praise you for? Because we don't see it. Our forgiveness must match the failures of other people. Because his forgiveness more than outpaces our failures. Our personal holiness must exceed the worldly temptations we have. Our love for others must exceed our love for ourself. And our confession of our sin must match the committing of our sin. The secret to getting everything God has is you wanting it. This is what I hope for you. This is my prayer for you this year. This is what I'm going to do to try to facilitate it so this can be the greatest year of your Christian life. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. No matter your ability, no matter your desire, God wants to do something never before seen in your life. And it doesn't matter if we create the tools. It doesn't matter unless you're thirsty. We're going to create opportunities. We're going to facilitate encounters with God. But I can't make you want it. So won't you pray these prayers with me? Oh God, stir me. Stir me this year. God, show me what you can do. And God, strengthen me for a greater service. Heavenly Father, we love you. In the next few moments, we ask God that you would speak to every heart and every soul. I ask God, those that are watching on light right now, that they would assess where they are and they would ask themselves, what am I going to do different this year? I'm going to give myself afresh and anew. And Father, we pray each day as we die to self and be filled with the Spirit, Father, that you would glorify yourself through us. And Father, that this would be the year where we would literally grow deeper in our walk and faith and reach higher for the blessing and service that you have before us, that your glory would be everything. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As Brother Pedro or Brother Frank, why don't you come and takes over the invitation? There's going to be a time of prayer for you right now as we prepare for baptism.
Amen. At this time, while Pastor's preparing for a baptism, the altar is open. If the Lord has spoken to your heart, I know we don't have any music per se, but it is a time for us to make decisions for the Lord. And we have a few folks coming to make decisions for the Lord at this time. And so let's make sure we pay them some respect. And with all heads bowed and eyes closed, let's just have a moment of reflection, a moment of inspection within our hearts, and ask the Lord to speak to us and to lead us, to do greater things for Him in this year, 2021. And praise the Lord for the challenge from the Word of God tonight. We hope and pray that you have been stirred, and if the Lord has moved in your heart and in your life to do something for Him, man, let us help you do that so we can serve the Lord in a greater fashion, see more people saved, more people baptized, more people discipled, more people added to the church. Amen. Well, amen. Let's have a word of prayer, and we'll prepare to have to present these for membership and then also for the baptism. Let's pray. Father, we love you. And Father, we do thank you, dear God, for what we have experienced in this service this evening. We pray, dear God, that you would help us to submit, help us to yield, help us to obey. And Lord, we know that you want to use us, you want to bless through us. And Father, you just want us to be willing vessels, conduits of your mercy, of your grace and your power. And Lord, we pray that you would please help us, dear God, to serve you in a greater fashion in this year, this new year, Lord, than we did last year. Lord, we pray that you would help us, dear God, to be a more of a vocal witness. Lord, help us to be a better testimony. Lord, help us to walk with you in a greater fashion. And Lord, we pray that you would receive all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Father, we thank you for allowing us to be used in your kingdom. Bless us now. Bless every family that's represented here tonight. Bless all those that are watching online. Bless those that would maybe could watch this this church service, the recorded service, Lord, at a later time. And Lord, we pray that you would bless those that have made decisions tonight. And Lord, help us to honor you and help us, Lord, to serve you passionately until you return. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.